Over the next couple of weeks leading up to Easter, I want to look at Jesus in his own words. In the Gospel of John, Jesus made seven statements. We call them the I am statements. Seven times Jesus said, I am. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. This morning, we're going to look at that statement that Jesus made in John 10 when he said, I am the good shepherd. Tell somebody, he's the good shepherd. I want to look at this phrase that Jesus said very quickly. First of all, I want to point out that God is good. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. Listen, God is not angry and cruel and spiteful. Our God is a loving and compassionate and merciful God. There is no greater love on earth than the love of God. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations, even this generation. Psalm 34:18 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Tell somebody he's good. The Bible says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Listen, that's what Jesus did for you and for me. He died on the cross to save us. He laid down his life for you and for me, and we call that the gospel. The gospel simply means the good news. So God is good, the gospel is good, and his plans for your life are good. I want you to notice something about verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. If Jesus is the good shepherd, the implication is that there's a bad shepherd out there somewhere. Do y'all see what I'm saying this morning? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He implies that there is a bad shepherd. In fact, Jesus does more than just imply it. He directly says here in John 10, verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Jesus is talking about our adversary. Listen, in case you don't know, you have a spiritual enemy called the devil. And he hates God, and he hates the people of God. And every one of God's plans for your life, the devil wants to mess up and interfere with. His mission is to steal and to kill and destroy everything that matters to the heart of God. And whether you agree with anything I say today or not, you have to agree on this. There is evil in this world. There is evil at work all around us, and you know that I'm not making that up. Evil is everywhere because the devil is actively working in this world, trying his best to destroy the things that matter to God. That's why people are sick and families are falling apart and marriages are in trouble and people are questioning their identity and kids are making bad decisions. And at the very root of all these things is the one that Jesus calls a thief. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they might have a life and they might have it more abundantly. So on one side, you have the devil whose mission is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Then on the other hand, you have Jesus, and his mission is to give you life, and not just give you life, but give you abundant life. So let's go back to this metaphor that Jesus gives us in John chapter 10. He said, I am the good shepherd. If Jesus is the shepherd, what does that make us? Y'all are good. I got some Bible scholars in the midst today. Jesus is the shepherd. We are the sheep. Did you know that sheep are mentioned in the Bible more than any other animal in all of Scripture? It's the most commonly mentioned animal in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. There are 200 references to sheep in the Word of God. Since we're talking about animals, by the way, dogs are mentioned 44 times. Cats, zero. Cats are unbiblical animals. Let me just go on record and before you throw your Bible at me, I'm just messing with you. But cats are unbiblical because they're not in the Bible anywhere. People try to argue with, well, Pastor, what about a lion? That's a cat. Yeah, well, there is a lion in the Bible, and the Bible says that the devil roars about like a... So you see the direct connection between cats and Satan. I just want to... I better get back on track this morning. Sheep are talked about more than any other animal in the Bible. Sheep are very significant in the Word of God because they're mentioned many, many, many times. Sheep are found in some of the most significant passages of the Bible, both of the Old Testament and the New Testament. So let me ask you again, in case you missed it on the first round, if Jesus is the shepherd, then what are we? I was afraid you're going to say that. Because sheep are some of the stupidest animals on the face of planet Earth. There's no getting around it. Sheep are just dumb. So Jesus just called us dumb. I thought I would throw that out there. Sheep are not intelligent creatures. When you go to a circus, you never see trained sheep, right? You see trained tigers and trained elephants and trained dogs, but there are no sheep in the circus because sheep are too dumb. They cannot be trained. You can't even train a sheep to play dead. Even a possum knows how to play dead, but the only way to teach a sheep to play dead is to shoot it, and you can only play that game one time. Because sheep are not smart enough to be trained. Sheep are dumb. The reality is that they are incredibly stupid creatures, and Jesus is saying that we are sheep. That's bad news for us. Not only are sheep dumb, but they live in constant danger. Listen, it ain't easy being a sheep. Tell somebody, it ain't easy being a sheep. It's not. If you're taking notes, I want to quickly give you the four challenges of being a sheep, okay? Number one, sheep get lost easily. If my wife was here instead of in kids' church today, she'd be on the front row shouting amen because I get lost easily. I can get lost going from the bedroom to the bathroom. She has to come find me because I'm out in the front yard somewhere. I've been known to wander off. The number one challenge of being a sheep is that they get lost very easily. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. It's very common for sheep to wander away from the shepherd. A sheep will say to himself or herself, I know the shepherd is leading me this way, but I wonder what's over there. I know the shepherd says that this is the right way to go, but I wonder how I would feel if I went and wandered over this way. See, the number one challenge of being a sheep is that sheep get lost very easily, and what happens is that many of us end up like that wandering sheep. We're trying to figure life out, and we keep ending up in the wrong places making the wrong decisions because a sheep without the shepherd gets lost very easily. Number one, sheep get lost easily. Number two, sheep are defenseless. This is really interesting to me to think about because literally every other animal has some sort of defense mechanism. Rhinos have horns and wolves have fangs and even cats have claws. But sheep have nothing. In and of themselves, they are totally defenseless without the shepherd. Sheep need the safety of the flock and the protection of the shepherd. You see, on our own, without the support of our church family and without Jesus as our shepherd, we become vulnerable to the lies of the enemy. So many people are living lives that lead to destruction and heartache and pain rather than living under the protection of the shepherd because they've fallen prey to the lies of the enemy. It ain't easy being a sheep. Four challenges of being a sheep. Number one, sheep get lost easily. Number two, sheep are defenseless. Number three, sheep are stubborn. Tell somebody, sheep are stubborn. Some of you didn't do that. You know why? Because you're stubborn. You are illustrating my message this morning. Sheep are stubborn. In fact, I read that if a sheep gets wedged between two rocks, the sheep doesn't put it in reverse, you know, beep, beep. No, no, no. The sheep does not back up. If it gets wedged between two rocks, it will keep pushing and pushing and pushing until it gets further and further stuck because sheep are stubborn. Sheep are hard-headed. How many of you know somebody like that? Ma'am, don't point. Just raise your hand. We don't need to know he's with you today. Sheep are stubborn. They get caught in a bad place, and they keep going further and further and further into the mess, further and further and further into that trap because they're stubborn. Well, Pastor, why do I always fall for losers? I only end up relationship with guys who treat me like garbage. Well, maybe it's time to back out of the rocks. Maybe it's time to fish in another pond, if you know what I'm saying this morning. Or maybe it's the person who says, well, you know what, I never have any money. I'm always broke. I can barely make it. I never have enough money. And while they're telling me that, they're checking text messages on a $700 phone, smoking a cigarette, trying not to get ashes on their Air Jordans. And you wonder why you ain't got no money. You're between two rocks and you're just pushing further and further. Sheep are stubborn. I'll give you a personal example. This sheep right here is stubborn. Because Wednesday night, I was mounting a power strip in our mechanical room over there so we could run power to our TVs in our nursery. And I did not have time to go get a drill bit. So I just decided I was going to hold it up and start the screw myself, not realizing that my finger was on the other side. And before you know it, I was walking into the ER at Wayne Memorial with a power strip screwed to my finger with the tip coming out the other side. I get to the metal detector and say, "Officer, I've got metal." Why? Because sheep are dumb. Sheep do stubborn stuff. I was between two rocks, and I just kept pushing and pushing. Boy, oh boy. Look, Mama said everybody's good for something, even if it's to be a bad example. The four challenges of being a sheep. Number one, sheep get lost easily. Number two, sheep are defenseless. Number three, sheep are stubborn. And number four, you're going to like this one, sheep are filthy. Sheep are filthy. Tell somebody they're nasty. Oh, come on, y'all get a little more attitude than that. Come on, tell them they're nasty. Sheep are dirty, smelly animals. They're filthy and they stink. Real sheep are not like the fluffy white cotton balls you see in cartoons, okay? They are disgusting animals. Sheep, unlike cats, cannot clean themselves. They cannot do it, and they probably wouldn't do it if they could do it because they're filthy animals. And if I could be really honest with you today, that's how we are in the eyes of God apart from Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, the good shepherd, we are all filthy, nasty in our sins. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 says, "Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous. No one who does what is right and never sins." The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all," everybody say all. How many is all? How many is it in Greek? How many is it in Hebrew? All. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The bottom line is this: sheep need a shepherd and we need a Savior. We need Jesus, and without Him we're lost. Without Jesus, we'll believe the lies of the enemy. Without Jesus, we're like a dumb sheep stuck between two rocks, trying to do life our way instead of his way. That's why it's good news to you and me that Jesus is the good shepherd. I've given you the four challenges of being a sheep, and in our final moments together, I want to give you the four qualities of Jesus as our good shepherd. What does the good shepherd do? Number one, he guides. Tell somebody the good shepherd guides. One of the best pictures we get of the good shepherd is found in the Bible in Psalm 23. The Bible says in Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." In other words, I don't need a thing. He meets my every need. Goes on to say, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Here we see the symbolism of the shepherd guiding his sheep. In verse 3, the NIV puts it like this: "He guides me along the right paths." Come on, say this again. The good shepherd guides. I don't know about you, but from time to time, I find myself facing a big situation. I find myself in a predicament, and I don't really know what to do. Anybody ever had a moment like that in life? If you didn't, you must have just been born. Congratulations. Get ready, because you'll face a moment like that. We all face decisions where we don't know. There is no clear answer. Okay. Sometimes the answer is obvious. Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kreme? That's easy. Krispy Kreme. Some decisions in life you don't really have to think about, but there are times when in our human brain we cannot figure out what is the better decision, what is the right decision, how should we go? Should I go this way or that way? Should I do this or should I do that? Should I change career fields? Is this relationship good or bad for my life? What should I do? We will find ourselves in places where we do not know what to do. And I need to tell you this morning that you can look to the good shepherd and he will guide you and lead you in the way that you should go. Why? Because the good shepherd guides. Let's look back at John chapter 10, verse 1. This is Jesus talking. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name." Did you know that God knows your name? He has called you by name. Some people just can't seem to grasp that, but let me tell you something. When one sparrow falls out of the sky, God marks it in the ledger in heaven. He knows you by name. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows those things that bother you, that burden you, that weigh you down. He knows everything about you, and he loves you. The good shepherd calls his sheep by name. And when he brings out his sheep, Jesus will bring you out, by the way. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The good shepherd guides the sheep because the sheep know his voice. When you need guidance, God will speak to you. Now, he might not speak to you in an audible voice in the middle of the night and say, "Christy, this is God." God's never spoken to me like that, first of all, because my name's not Christy. But listen, some of you, God may speak to you in an audible voice. I know somebody, a friend of mine, who, and she said that God spoke to her one day in an audible voice. She heard it with her physical ears. God spoke to her. And if God speaks to you that way, that's great. But I can tell you, I've never heard from God in that way. I'm not knocking it if you have. That's awesome. I want to know about it. But I'll tell you how God speaks to me. If I don't hear an audible voice, if I can't get a word of prophecy, if nobody's speaking into my life, if I can't hear God speaking to my heart, guess where I hear God speak? In the Word of God. My goodness, the devil doesn't want you to pick up this book, because God will talk to you through this book. This book will tell you all about you. This book will tell you where you've been. It'll tell you where you are right now. It'll tell you where you need to go. When you don't hear the spoken word of God, you can read the written word of God, because God speaks through his word. There have been many times in my life where I needed a word from God, and guess where I found it? In the word of God. Who would have thought that? God speaks in many ways. He speaks through his word. He speaks through other people. Sometimes somebody will be talking to you and you don't even realize it, but God himself is speaking through that person. God will speak through circumstances and situations. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've put out a fleece and said, God, I don't know what to do. Lord, show me in this circumstance. Guide me in the way I should go. And he will. He'll speak to you through circumstances. Many times, God will speak to your heart. That still, small voice on the inside, he'll speak to you. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And if you don't know the voice of God, it's for one of two reasons. And let me illustrate it to you like this. Let's say that we had a room like this that was full of 50 women, and they were all talking, because that's what ladies do. God has blessed you and anointed you with the gift of speaking, okay? We're in a room full of ladies. All the ladies, if this was a room full of men, nobody would be talking. We'd all be watching the TV. But let's imagine it's a room full of women and they're all talking. And imagine that I blindfolded you and I said, I want you to go find my wife. If you couldn't do that, it's for one of two reasons. Number one, either you don't know my wife, or number two, you haven't spent enough time with her to know her voice. Because I promise you, if you blindfolded me and said, go find your wife, in about 5 seconds, I would be like, yep, right here. Because I know her and I know her voice. If you don't hear God speak, then either you don't know God or you haven't spent enough time with him to recognize his voice. So if you're facing a decision right now, I challenge you to pray this prayer. Just say, Jesus, you're the good shepherd. It's your job to guide. It's my job to follow. So guide me, lead me, and I'll follow you. You see, that takes all the pressure off. That's saying, okay, Lord, I'm getting out of the driver's seat. I'm going to scoot over to the passenger seat because I need you to guide me. When you pray that kind of prayer to submit yourself to the leading and guiding of the Lord, I promise you that he will guide you. You could pray that simple prayer. Jesus, you lead and I follow. What does the good shepherd do? I got to hurry up. Number one, he guides. Number two, he provides. Come on, say this out loud. The good shepherd provides. David said in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. Now, here's a detail that I don't want you to miss. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Most people focus on the green pastures, but there's something significant in the lying down, because sheep don't just lie down in any old situation or circumstance. Conditions have to be just right, or sheep will remain nervous and they will stand up. Three things have to be in place for a sheep to lie down. Number one, if a sheep is hungry, it won't lie down. If there is fighting among the flock, they won't lie down. And if they're afraid because danger is nearby, they won't lie down. So when David says, the Lord, my shepherd, when he makes me to lie down, what that's really saying is that because I've been in the presence of the shepherd, I am fed, I am satisfied because I've been in his presence. I can lie down because there is unity, because where Jesus is the shepherd, he brings us together in unity. And I can lay down because there is safety and there is peace in his presence. Goes on to say, he leads me beside still waters. Now, this is very important because sheep, y'all remember, they are not geniuses, okay? They are not intelligent animals. They are dumb. Sheep cannot drink by rushing waters because sheep will just fall into the river and they'll be like a big cotton ball just soaking up water downstream until they drown because they are dumb. That's why Jesus leads us, the sheep, by still waters. In other words, he leads us to drink from the right kind of water. What's the right kind of water? Jesus is. He said, I am the living water. Those who drink of me will never thirst again. Leads me to the right kind of water. Then it says, he restores my soul. I love this because Jesus quenches that inward thirst so that our soul is satisfied. Jesus is such a good provider that he doesn't just provide the material things, he provides the spiritual things too. A lot of people have it all together on the outside, but they're falling apart on the inside. That's why we need the good shepherd, because the good shepherd doesn't just take care of the outside, he restores our soul. The good shepherd will restore you. When you're under the care of the shepherd, listen, all hell can break loose around you, but you can still have a calm and a peace on the inside despite the circumstances around you, because that's when the good shepherd restores your soul. In the midst of the battle, in the midst of the fight, in the midst of the opposition, in the midst of the danger, he can restore you right then and there. Come on, somebody say, he restores my soul. What does a good shepherd do? Number one, he guides. Number two, he provides. Number three, he corrects. Uh-oh. It was fun till we got to this one. I like him guiding me. I like him providing, but, oh, Lord, do you have to correct me? Somebody say this, the good shepherd corrects. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus, is that he will bring correction when we need it. This may not seem like good news for the sheep that's wandering. It may not feel like good news at the time, but it is truly good news because it means that the shepherd loves you enough to correct you when you're heading for danger. Job said it like this in Job 5:17, "Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects." I don't know about you, but I got whoopings as a child. It wasn't discipline, it was a whooping. If I went to grandma's house, I got a switch and I had to go pick it out. And if I didn't pick a right one, she'd go get a right one. I don't ever remember in the middle of being disciplined thinking, boy, I sure am happy right now. I don't remember saying, grandmother, I am happy and blessed because you are spanking me with the switch at the moment. Bless you for doing what you're doing to my backside right now. But Job said, happy is he who God corrects. You might not be happy at the moment, but you're going to be happy because God corrected you and got you back on the right track. I wasn't happy when I was a child and mama made me act right, but I'm happy now because I learned the right way to live versus the wrong way. You might not be happy when God's correcting you, but you will be happy because he corrected you. Y'all see the difference? Job goes on to say, for he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. Now, this is important because this is shepherd terminology. You see, when a little lamb constantly wanders away from the shepherd, I'll tell you what the shepherd does. He'll take his rod, which is a half of a nunchuck. He'll take his little rod and he will pop the leg of the sheep so that little lamb can't wander off anymore. And that sounds like a cruel thing to do, but that's actually the loving thing to do, because that sheep is wandering to wolves, wandering to the cliffs, wandering to rushing water, and the shepherd knows if he doesn't bring correction, that sheep could die. But the shepherd doesn't just crack the rod. The shepherd takes that lamb, binds up his wound, and carries that lamb on his shoulder. And it's through that correction that that lamb learns to recognize the voice of the shepherd. And it might be painful for a while. It might be some temporary discomfort. But through that healing process, you will learn the voice of the shepherd. And that's why Job said, "Happy is the man whom God corrects." Our God is a God who provides. He is a God who guides. But our God is also a God who corrects. And there may be times when our good and loving God will allow us to face the consequences of our own stupid decisions, sinful actions. And it may be painful at the time, but the one who bruises also binds up the wound. Why does God correct us? Because He loves us. Proverbs 3:12 says, "For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child on whom he delights." Listen, when Hudson was a little baby, first came home from the hospital, man, we didn't sleep at night, but we had it made during the daytime, because we just lay him on the floor, and there he stays. He might could roll 5 feet one way or 5 foot the other way, but I know the general circumference. I know his boundary. But our life changed when that little joker learned how to walk, because he went from crawling to running and climbing. And one day, he made a beeline for the hot stove. And he went to reach up his little hand, and I reached out and I tackled that little one-year-old. And he looked at me like, "You're the meanest daddy in the whole world right now." Now, I would never, under normal circumstances, just tackle my child. But it was necessary in the moment to keep him from harm. And God loves us enough to not let us touch the hot stove. God loves us enough that He's going to step in and bring correction to help get us back on track. It might not feel good at the time, but happy is the one whom God corrects. Listen, as a parent, it would be a lot easier for me if I didn't care about my child, because I would never have to bring correction. If he was an acquaintance, do whatever you want to do, but he is not an acquaintance. I love him, and I'm going to correct him and discipline because I love him. I don't enjoy disciplining him. If you love disciplining, if you really enjoy that, okay, you're probably sick in the head and need a little help, need a little counseling session. I don't enjoy bringing discipline to my child, but I do it because I love him. Come on, tell somebody, God loves you. Y'all know what we mean, too. What does the good shepherd do? Number one, he guides. Number two, he provides. Number three, he corrects. And last one, number four, he protects. Come on, say, the good shepherd protects. Let's look back at what David said about the good shepherd. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Listen, church, we're living in an evil world. There is evil, there is death, there is destruction all around us, but we do not have to be afraid, because the good shepherd is with us. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Jesus made us this promise. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Let's look back at verse 5. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." When I read this, I think about when we were building our house in Goldsboro. You see, for years and years and years, Amber and I did remodeling and renovation. And we would do all the work ourselves. When we moved to Goldsboro, we had just finished a 3-year project of renovating a house top to bottom, and we gutted that thing. 3 years of hard work of screws and nails, cuts and bruises. 3 years of working in the daytime and working in the nighttime. You know, we're talking about Christy was right there helping us. 3 years of work. And because of those years of work, we were able to build a house and let somebody else build it. So you know what I would do? On my lunch break, it was bow time. I'd get me Bojangles, and I'd go down to the lot where they were working, and I would sit down, and I would prepare a table. And it was the best lunch I ever had in my life because I was sitting there eating, watching somebody else work. I was thinking, I could get used to this after 3 years of doing all the work myself. I'm preparing a table and watching somebody else. Listen, I was at ease. They were nervous because I was watching, but I was at ease. The Bible says that God prepares us a table in the presence of our enemies. I want you to think about that. If somebody's trying to punch me in the face, I'm not going to grab a cheeseburger. Because to sit down at the table and eat means that you're not fighting anymore, that you can rest and you can enjoy the meal. And what God is not, he's not saying that you're never going to have enemies. Enemies will come. Opposition will come. But when the enemy comes in, you can sit down and say, it's bowl time. I'm not messing with you today because my God prepares me a table in your face, devil. God prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. That means that God is going to bless us and he's going to make the devil watch. Hallelujah. Some of y'all need to think about that when you eat lunch today. He prepares you a table in the presence of your enemies. When the devil is coming against you to fight, to destroy you, to take you out, you can sit down and enjoy a meal in the presence of God because he is the good shepherd and he is the one who protects you. It says, you anoint my head with oil. Sheep, we've already discussed this, they are stanky. They are nasty. They are disgusting animals. And because they stink, flies are attracted to them. And this is what happens, is that flies get in the sheep's nose. And not only do they irritate the sheep, but they lay eggs in the sheep's nose, driving the sheep crazy to the point where some sheep will bash their heads continually against the rock. Because they're in so much pain because of the flies. And what a shepherd does is he anoints the sheep's head with oil to keep the flies out, to keep the flies away. In other words, Jesus loves you enough to anoint your head with oil because he cares about those things that are irritating you. He cares about those things that come from the enemy that are trying to get inside of your head and infiltrate your mind. And that's why, because you're following the good shepherd, you can be in a situation where anybody else would lose their mind, but you can have peace because the good shepherd anoints your head with oil. Jesus anoints us with the Holy Spirit so that we don't have a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. He anoints your head with oil. And this is my last thought today. It says, my cup runs over. Have you ever wondered what that means? My cup runs over. I'll give you an illustration. When Amber and I started in ministry together, we led a young adults group. And we would have people at the house all the time. I mean, all the time. Our nosy neighbor came over one day and said, what y'all got going on in your house? Because you got people coming in and out. Oh, that she thought something illegal was going on because there's people coming in and out, in and out, in and out. We'd have people at our house all the time, and because they were in their 20s, they would stay a long time. And I'll tell you something about your pastor. When I get overly tired, I lose all my social skills. Just so you know that. This is confessional time here. I feel better already sharing that with you this morning. When I get really tired, all my social skills go out the window. Everything I learned in charm school, I just forget, okay? So it would be 1 o'clock in the morning. We'd have a living room full of 20-somethings, and I would go in the bedroom and get my PJs on. And I'd walk out wearing an extra-tight McDonald's T-shirt and some plaid pajama pants with a hole in the leg right here. And I just knew that if I walked out in my PJs, they would take the hint. They would get the message and say, oh, Pastor Josh is out in his sleeping clothes. We better go. No. They didn't care. They're like, cool shirt, Big Papa. Need to buy an extra large next time. They didn't care. So phase two of my diabolical plan was I would go over and I would turn the air conditioner down all the way to 62 and I'd hide all the blankets. And within 5 minutes, they were filing out of the house. It's cold. I'm about to freeze. It's January and you got the AC on. Bye. And it's an ancient tradition in Palestine that when you're a guest in somebody's house, you're welcome there as long as they keep your cup filled with wine. As long as they fill your cup, you can stay. But if the cup runs dry, the McDonald's t-shirt is on, the blankets are going away, and the AC is coming down because it's time to go. And when the Bible says, my cup runs over, that means that you are always welcome in the arms of the Good Shepherd. You're always welcome in the presence of the Savior. That's why David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Church, your cup runs over. When Jesus is your shepherd, that cup never runs dry. God didn't destine you just for life on this earth. God destined you for eternity. He is not just the shepherd who guides us in this life. He is the shepherd who guides us into eternal life. And Jesus gave another parable about a shepherd one day. He said the shepherd will leave the 99 to go after the one that is lost. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like God is speaking directly to you. I'll tell you why, because God is speaking directly to you. Maybe you're the one. You're the one who's wandered away from the fold, and the good shepherd is leaving the 99 to come after you this morning, not to harm you, not to hurt you, but to save you, to love you, to welcome you with his loving arms, to care for you, to set you free. Will you close your eyes for just a moment as we pray? Just a moment, I'm going to pray for you, but I want to ask you to be real honest with me this morning. With everybody's eyes closed, how many of you would just raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm the one who's wandered away from the fold. Will you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to get back to where I belong, under the care, under the loving guidance of the Good Shepherd. God bless you. Thank you. Lord, I pray for those, God, who have wandered away from you this morning. I thank you that you know them by name, that you love them, that you care for them, that you love them enough as the Good Shepherd, that you laid down your life to save them. You willingly died on the cross to pay the price for their sins and for my sins, and to prove to the world that the sacrifice was sufficient and the debt has been paid in full. God raised you from the dead on the third day, and you are alive forevermore. And Jesus, I thank you that you are the good shepherd and that you're in this place today, ready to save and to heal and to restore. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place today. I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you get back to where you belong under the shepherd's care. Will you all pray this prayer with me out loud together? Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, you are the good shepherd, and I am a sheep. And I come to you now just the way I am, and I ask you to save me. Forgive me of my sins. come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Be my good shepherd. Jesus, guide me. Jesus, be my provider. Jesus, correct me. Jesus, be my protection. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Will you stand this morning as we get ready to make a declaration? I love to do this. I love to make the devil mad. I love to get on his nerves. He gets on my nerves enough all day long. I like to get him back every now and then. We're going to make the devil. Y'all want to make the devil mad this morning? Don't be scared. He can't do nothing about it anyway. Come on, let's make this declaration. Throw up your hands this morning. Say, I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I am set free. My past is over. My sins have been washed away. My future is bright in Jesus. Come on, say this. I'm a child of God. Heaven is my home. I belong to Jesus. He is my shepherd, and he will take care of me. Now come on, give him praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise your name, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He'll guide you. He'll protect you.